There's a man who lives beside me who fought in World War II. He proudly waves old glory from high upon his roof. He starts out every morning like it's Independence Day. I've seen him at attention salute the flag and sing. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand. One nation under God. I love this land. All across this country, in big cities, little towns, while mama's getting ready, dad pulls the car around. They join the congregation to sing Amazing Grace. They're free to worship Jesus, and they are free to pray. I love this man. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand. One nation under God. I love this
Are you proud to be an American this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thankful to the good Lord that He, in His foreknowledge, designed for me to be born here in America. And same for you. What a blessing. Could have been born anywhere. And I'm so glad that He sovereignly allowed me to be born here. And you too, if you were born here. What a blessing it is. And this is our 4th of July service this morning. And looking forward to worshiping the Lord this morning in song and through the scriptures as well. So we want to just say happy 4th of July weekend to everybody this morning. I had an opportunity to wear my flag tie and all my many flags on my tie. So I took advantage of that, and I see some of their red, white, and blue colors, and very patriotic. So we appreciate that, and we're celebrating the independence of our country, and what a blessing and a great honor that is to be able to stand and celebrate that one more year. Want to just thank all those that died, the families that remained, who, like the song says, has given this right for us to worship freely and to have the freedom that we have. And so we thank those that died. We also thank those who are currently serving, and but also thank those who have served and they're back home safely. Just thank the good Lord for all of our soldiers, all of our military, and the blood that was shed for our country. All right, I want to mention a few things this morning, and then we'll proceed in the service. Let's continue to remember Brother Harold and his health. Miss Dolores Palmer, it's looking like her surgery, her hernia surgery, is going to be this coming up Thursday, which is the 6th. And so that is, spoke with her the other day, that is subject to change. And but let's remember her for that on Thursday. Big operation here, and she'll be in the hospital for a little while. Miss Dawn Capistrano goes, I believe, on Wednesday, the 5th, to receive further information about her upcoming surgery. And let's also continue to remember Miss Connie, that's at home with heart issues, that's getting better little by little, I hear. But also let's remember Miss Claudia, that goes on the 12th for a heart catheterization there at Cobb Hospital. And so, of course, there's many, many others to be remembered in prayer. Just grab a bulletin if you would. A lot of work goes into that bulletin, and then a lot of work goes into printing that bulletin. And so pick one up in the foyer if you would, or down front where we are. Of course, you can always go to our webpage, www.calvaryministries.org, and find it there as well. And while I'm mentioning the church webpage, I do want to start saying this more because I forget to mention it. But when we do give our tithes and offerings week in and week out, and I hope you do, then there's also a place on our website where you can give tithes and offerings. I just wanted to make that known. I know sometimes it's forgotten about, but on our webpage you can find that link there to give online. Tonight will be our 4th of July dinner, if you want to say it that way, supper, throw down at the table, however you want to put it. That will be tonight, this evening at 5 o'clock, and appreciate Brother Larry setting the table for us. Appreciate that. And so this is not an eating contest. Enjoy your food, digest it, and go back for some more. And but anyway, it's going to be a great time of fellowship tonight. Let it be a get to know your neighbor night. Talk to somebody you don't rarely normally talk to as we're sitting in church and we come in and we leave. Take this as an opportunity to speak with someone you don't normally speak to. Just going to be a great time of fellowship tonight at 5 o'clock. I do want to say on the 16th, we're moving up our youth service to the 16th. And so remember that. Brother Brian will be doing the preaching that morning. Brother CJ that evening. Also that afternoon, CLU have a special speaker for that. It's going to be a great time on the 16th. So please be here and pray for those meetings, the morning CLU and the evening service as well. All right, one last thing. On July 13th, be the ladies' prayer brunch on Thursday at Miss Mary Ann's house, Mary Ann Sanvey, at 11. This is where it'll be a time of prayer for the church and a time to do a little bit of eating as well. And, you know, we have to incorporate food, you know. So remember that and appreciate Miss Mary Ann opening up her home. All right, well, it's good to be here, and let's just worship the Lord. Let's give him an hour and ask him to speak to our hearts and change our lives. Father, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you do. Although sometimes we don't agree with everything that you do, especially the things that don't feel good in the hard times we encounter, but we know ultimately if we belong to you, you are working all things together for good. We pray for all these requests. Oh God, we just pray for healing. We pray for a touch. We pray for restoration, not only physically, but spiritually as well. These that are encountering the doctor's office regularly, Lord, sometimes it puts a damper even on the spirit of man, and discouragement can set in. Just be with them, Lord, in all aspects. I pray that you'll be with us in the service this morning. Help us, Lord, focus on you. I just pray you'll meet with us in a mighty way. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Church, if you'll stand with me, choir, if you'll stand with me as well. Can we sing the chorus that says that God is so good? Would you agree with me that he's good this morning? All right, let's sing together now. God is so good. God is so good. I'm glad he answers prayers, aren't you? He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He's so good to me. And he's coming soon. Sing that that says, God bless America. God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from great singing. Thank you, church. You can be seated.
choir, you can be seated as well. Just a couple of things, please remember. The service tonight at 5 o'clock, there'll be no choir practice this evening at 4. No choir practice this evening, so remember that. And I hope that everyone has a wonderful yet safe holiday week. Be safe out there. We want to see everybody back in the house next Sunday. And it looks like we have a brand new owner for the Atlanta Braves, Brother LC. Look at him all dressed up over in his Braves attire. Man, you're looking sharp over there, buddy. Go Braves. I just got to say it, Pastor. Go Braves. Amen. Man, what a week it's been. We need to pray that the Lord will just keep them on fire. Amen. And on track. But let's pray the Lord. Let's reel this thing back in. Pray the Lord would give us a great day in his house today. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. God's been so good to us. We're going to sing a song somewhat about that here in a few moments. So you pray for the choirs we sing. Let's pray the Lord give us a great day today. May souls be saved across America. Amen. What a great, great time it would be for someone to truly accept some freedom. And that would be that they would be set free from their sins. If you've never been set free from yours, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray that you'll come to know the Lord as your Savior today before you leave this place. Father, we love you. Lord, we are so thankful for this great country that you've allowed us to be a part of. But Lord, we're also so thankful, especially today, for the family that you've allowed us to be a part of, and that is the great family of God. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for your Son that died at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that I've been set free from my sins and that I am part of that great family. Lord, I pray that you touch us today. Be with our pastor. Speak through him what we need to hear. Lord, I pray that you bless the offering now, both the gift and the giver. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit, that when we leave this place, we'll be able to say that it's been good to have been in the house of God. Lord, we love you, thank you, and praise you for what will be accomplished today. In Jesus' name, amen.
As I look back on all of my days, so many times, so many ways, I have been blessed. And all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain. Sometimes the tears fall like the rain. But through it all, He's never changed. God is still good. God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good. Stumble and fall, but through it all, my God is still good. For His mercy still flows from the palm of His hand, and He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, my God is still good. In times that I've let Him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, my God still good. For His mercy still flows from the palm of his hand. He grants me grace and helps me to stand. And although he knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I and I don't understand, God is still good. Come any day through and I'll stand and say, God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken my way, showers of blessing may come any day. He'll bring me through and I'll stand and say, God is still good.
Screen. God is still good. Come what may, God is still good. It's easy to say God is good when things are going well. Like the song Miss Shirley sings, is down in the valley. It's when you're tried and tested, your faith in God. God is still good in the valley as he is on the mountaintops. Praise the Lord for that. And good to see everybody this morning. And hope you've been blessed so far by being here. If you want to take your Bible and make your way to the Gospel of John, chapter number 8, that'll be great if you want to turn to John chapter number 8, verse number 30 through 36. John chapter number 8, verse number 30, down to verse number 36. It's going to be our place of reading this morning. And I'm going to travel to a couple different places as the message develops. And I hope it will be a help and a blessing to you as it was to me while preparing for it. And let's bow for a quick word of prayer, and then I want to begin reading in verse number 30 of John chapter number 8. Father, we bow one more time in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross this morning. I pray, Lord, as I stand, that you would strengthen me, quicken my mind, my spiritual thinking. Lord, I pray for physical strength, spiritual power. And God, I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Help me, Lord, do what Peter said and gird up the loins of my mind. I know there's something you want to say today. And we want to celebrate the freedom that's found in Jesus. And so I pray that you would get me out of the way. Father, I pray that your word would be clear today to the hearts of your people and to the hearts of those that don't even know you. Pray that you would work and move in a mighty way in this church building, but also on Facebook, our webpage, and even our little radio station as people pass through Powder Springs. We love you today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. John chapter number 8, verse number 30. The Bible says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's our verses this morning, John chapter number 8. Verse number 30 down through verse number 36. Physically this morning and in other ways, we have freedom in America through the bloodshed of many. And I praise the Lord for that. Spiritually, we have freedom in our world through the bloodshed of one, Jesus. And I am so very eternally thankful and more so for that. I want you to notice in verse 36, the Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, on this 4th of July weekend. Freedom in Jesus. Freedom in Jesus. True, real, and lasting freedom is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. We have freedom as Americans, and we may try to experiment to get other types of freedom during our daily lives. To take our minds off of things, we want to be free and we try things as a people. And but true freedom is found in Jesus, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. And I want to share three things about the freedom that is found in Jesus. Three simple things, yet very complex as we begin to speak about these things. Number one, we see freedom received in these verses. When a person receives Jesus as Savior, they have freedom from the bondage of sin. And I want to say that positionally, the person that has received Jesus has freedom from the bondage of sin. Those of you that are saved this morning have been set free. I have been set free. We are freed slaves. We have a new master. We are no longer under the domain of self and Satan, the constraints of sin, but we have a new master. And our master is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus begins talking about freedom in verse number 32. Look with me in verse 32. He says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, we have to understand here that there were some Jews that accepted Jesus in his plan of salvation. We see that in verse number 30 and verse number 31. "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." He says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So he's speaking to those who have believed. In verse 31 and 32, "Continue in my word, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In verse number 33, I believe this is some who are answering Jesus that are not saved here. He says, "They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" So there's a group here of Jews that they're thinking politically about political freedom. Well, we're of Abraham's seed. We're descendants of Abraham. We're the chosen people. We're not in bondage to any man. And so, like Jesus does, he condensed it for them in verse 34. "Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And so he brings it to the heart of the matter, and freedom has nothing to do politically, but freedom has everything to do internally. He brings up the issue of sin. He says those who commit sin are the servants of sin. Verse number 35, he says, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." He says this servant of sin will not abide in God's heavenly house forever. He says, "But the son abideth forever." The son of God will be in his house forever, and the sons of God will be in his house forever. Now, on the same token, let me say this about verse number 35 as we try to get the message going. That not only the servants of sin will not be in heaven, but the Son of God will be in heaven. The sons of God will be in heaven, those who have been forgiven of their sins. But also, the Son of God is in his house locally, the local church. And you will not find, out of a desire, the servants of sin coming to church services because they're not saved. And we want them to come. But it's not natural. It's not the natural of their nature, being sinners, to come to God's house. We want them to come. But the truth of the matter is, it's not natural for them to come. But you will find the sons of God and daughters of God in the local church, in God's house. And so he's talking about sin, and he says sinners will never enter into God's house and will not be there forever. Only the Son of God and the sons of God who have been saved will abide there forever. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He's talking about being bound to sin. He's talking about being a slave to sin. And so we see here those who embrace the Son have life. And eternal life and life more abundantly. We are freed slaves. Those who accept the Son have been made free. We're no longer servants to sin, but there's this natural desire to serve Jesus. We are rendered free through the operation of salvation. Do you understand? Just take a moment this morning. I'm trying to get the wagon moving. Do you understand if you say that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are free from the bondage of sin, you are free from the power of sin, and one day you'll be free from the presence of sin? This morning, because of the new birth, we are free. Positionally. Whether I'm a victorious Christian or not in my daily life, if I fail miserably every day and live selfishly, I'm doing that in spite of knowing my position, and that is I'm free in Jesus. And so I want to say this morning, in verse number 36, we have freedom received positionally. Positionally, a child of God is free from the bondage and the power of sin. Now, again, Jesus is talking about freedom from sin here. But I want you to notice something in verse number 32. We see that freedom is received practically. Practically. That is, growing in grace and the knowledge of His Word will mature us. We will sin less the more we learn of Him. The more we continue in His Word, the more He will expose about us the things that can't stay. And so we conform to the Word of God. And through time, we began to be more like Jesus in our character, in our day-to-day living, in operations of life. He says in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Number one, He says, all right, that's a telltale sign you belong to Me, is because you're a student of the word. And every born-again child of God who says they have been saved will have a desire to read God's Word. Now, I'm not saying you're going to lock yourself in a room and burn a candle and stay there 24/7, go from Genesis to Revelations. But whether you read or not, you know there is a longing and an urging to talk to God and to hear from God from His Word. He says, you're My disciples if you do that. That is an indication that you know Me because you want to hear from Me. Verse 32 says this. And the sentence continues from verse 31. And ye shall know the truth. Those that continue in the Word of God will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Positionally, we are free, but practically, we become free, and more free, we experience the freedom that we have, that we got at salvation. We began to experience that freedom practically as we stay in God's Word day by day by day. Now, you ever heard the phrase, the truth will set you free? Well, that's partly true. For example, if I sat in my house with this Bible on the coffee table. And I watched the Braves game all day, all week. Did what I wanted to do. Being busy here and there on the phone. And my Bible sat there all week and I never read it. I have the truth that's able to set me free right in front of me. But it being right in front of me won't set me free. It's by me opening this blessed book and reading therein and asking God to help me conform to the pages of this book. The truth, by knowing the truth will set you free. You want to know why so many Christians are living in bondage this morning? Because they got a Bible that's been laying on the coffee table from Sunday to Sunday. They never read it. They never get into it. They never ask God to help them for a closer walk. They never get into the pages of God's Word. That's why they're in bondage to sin today. That's why they're not enjoying the Master Jesus, because you have been set free. You cannot enjoy those things because you do not get into God's Word. Preach, Brother Justin. We need somebody to preach the book in the day and times in which we live. He says, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Some people have their Bibles at home and they're there worrying about things and worrying about things, and the Bible sits there. People at home, they have their struggles and their battles, and they wring their hands and they wrestle trying to get free, and the Bible sits there and the Bible sits there. The truth will make you free. But you got to know the truth in order to make you free. By salvation, positionally, we have been stationed in an area where we can experience true freedom. And if you know the Son has truly made you free. I think it's time to start experiencing the freedom that we have in Jesus. So we have freedom received positionally. Freedom from the bondage of sin. And then practically, we have freedom from the bondage of sin. This is a growing process. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of His Word will mature us. You will sin less. You see, I don't believe in sinless perfection this morning. I don't believe sinless perfection is biblical. Because there's only one who's sinless and perfect. But I do believe the more you walk with Jesus, the more you talk with Him, the more you read, if you're truly doing those things, you will sin less. That's the Bible. It is impossible to say that I live for Jesus, I read His Word, I attend to the things that He says in His Word, and leave this church and go belly up at the bar. It just don't balance out. It's impossible to say I live for Him and I read His Word and I attend to the things the Lord says and I pray to Him. I'm not perfect, but I do those things and then go by the dope man's house. Huh? We are not trying to achieve sinless perfection, but if we say we're living for Jesus, we will sin less. There's things that I used to do when I first got saved that I don't do anymore. It's not because I'm perfect. It's just because I've spent time in His Word these past 20 years. And either I was experiencing the sin of ignorance, which is found in Leviticus. There's a sin of ignorance. And I was ignorant that it was a sin. But after spending time in His Word, I discovered it was sin, and it got out of my life. I submitted to the Lord. It's gone. Then there's other things that were part of my life when I first got saved, and that wasn't necessarily a sin, but it was things that didn't help me along in my spiritual life. but conforming to His Word. I don't struggle with those things anymore. Now, I struggle with new things because you get rid of the old things, there's going to be new things that come along. There's going to be new areas that need to be checked. The devil knows he can't get you in those things anymore, so he tries new things. And so we continue to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And so we have freedom positionally. But then we experience our freedom practically as we attend to God's Word. And so this morning there's freedom received. There's freedom in Jesus. Number two, I want you to turn from John chapter number 8 to Romans chapter number 6. We see freedom received, but then we see freedom abused. Freedom abused. Romans 6, verse 1 and 2 in just a moment. When a person receives Jesus as Savior, they are free from the bondage of sin and the power of sin, and one day the presence of sin. Doesn't mean we won't sin. It just means it doesn't have a hold on us like it once did. This is called being dead to sin. And did you know this morning, if you're saved, born again, washed in the blood, you know you are a walking dead man? Walking dead woman, you know that? Because the old you is dead. Dead man walking, they used to say. Watch these documentaries, people on death row. Dead man walking. Well, my old friends that see me from time to time in public, they may not say dead man walking, but this is a dead man walking. Dead to the old Justin. Dead to the old life in the inclinations that used to have me and that used to drive my life. I have become dead to those things, and you have too. We this morning are free from the bondage of sin, power of sin, the presence of sin. This is called being dead to sin. Knowing this, listen, knowing that we are free from these things, sometimes freedom is abused. We are a free country. But that freedom has been abused, and now we have an America that has been decaying morally for years. We have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of living, and freedom of working. Say what you want to say. Worship where you want to worship. Live where you want to live. Work where you want to work. But those freedoms have been abused. Now we have people, and they think freedom means defying your own realities. Listen, there's no objective morals or standards today in the life of many. Odd and immoral things are accepted because of freedom. This is the land of the free. Be who you want to be. Do what you want to do. And because of that, it has, many have taken that and tried to define their own realities. Meaning, individuals define themselves. Bruce Jenner becomes Caitlyn Jenner because how he feels. A white woman claims she's a Latino because she feels like she's a Latino. A black woman says that she's really a white woman because she feels white. And I want to say, even in the communities we're living, there is a, it's around the world, but it has been noted and logged that people, some people feel like animals and they claim they're an animal. There's a school, I don't know where it's at, it's in Cobb County. where at least one child was walking through the hallway on all fours and barking and meowing. They wanted to accommodate that behavior because they wouldn't use the bathroom on a toilet. So they got a litter box. You think I'm playing? It's happening. It's happening. I forgot the name. Furbies, fur babies, something like that, fur baby. They got a name for it. Freedom abused. Moral decay. Well, I just feel like that I'm a woman, so I want to be a woman. Well, I just feel like I'm a man, so I want to be a man. Well, I just want to do this because I feel this way. And we've taken our freedom here in this land, and we have abused it, and we're defining our own realities, and we're saying who we are and who we are not. I want to say that with freedom comes abuse. Amen, Brother Justin. Same as in our spiritual lives. Well, I'm forgiven. And since I'm forgiven, I may not enjoy it fully, but I want to. Huh? I mean, I'm forgiven. Well, why are you hiding for? Because you know it's wrong. But the same way in America how freedom has been abused, there are Christians who abuse their freedom. The Christian knows they are free, but in many cases chooses to live how they want to in spite of being free. Look what Paul says in verse 1 of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He just got through talking about verse 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where there was sin, there was plenty more grace. And so he is clearing up a subject. He says, what shall we say then? Because when there's sin, there's more grace. Shall we just keep sinning that there may be more grace? Shall we continue in sin? Look at verse 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? Did you know a dead person is unable to respond to life? A dead person is not subject to life. Dead men are uninfluenced by the affairs of this life. And the Bible says that we are dead to the subject of sin. Meaning we are free from the bondage of sin. From the power of sin. One day the presence of sin. Sin does not have to have domain in our lives. We've been set free. We have the ability to tap into our salvation. And with the power of God live a not perfect life. But a life where we sin less. Now, I want to read through some of these verses because I got to. Look at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, or to Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, spiritual baptism. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again in that same like figure. When a person accepts Jesus, they died to the old person. Now there's a new resurrected person and there will be some newness of life. He goes on and he says, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now listen to this. Paul says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, as being one who was risen from the dead, we should not serve sin. Verse 6 tells us our old man is dead. And the goal of this thing is so that sin may not destroy us or have dominion. And because we have been resurrected as a new person, as a new creature, we should not serve sin. We shouldn't desire to serve sin, and we won't if we're saved. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin, free from the power of it, free from the bondage of it. That's why this morning, if we're in bondage and we're saved, we're doing it in spite of being free. We are living under our privileges as children of God if we're enslaved to sin this morning. We are, the Son has made us free, but then we have to know the truth so that we can walk in that reality daily. Are you still with me? Say amen. Amen. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. There's the other knowing. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, doth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So that's telling us, number one, we're not perfect. That's also telling us there is a challenge to not give in to sin, although we're freed from sin. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Jesus fulfilled the law. If we are guilty in one area of the law, we are guilty in all, James says. And so the Christian life isn't trying to fulfill the law. Hear me when I say this. But the Christian life is celebrating that the law has already been fulfilled. And walking in that reality that you're not going to be held in judgment one day. You're forgiven. You're free. And so there is this desire to live for Jesus. And because we're forgiven, because we're free, that don't mean we're going to just use our grace card to sin. Paul says, God forbid that you do that. He says, but yield yourselves as instruments unto righteousness. He says, verse 15, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. I want to keep on reading down. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. There's still the possibility to be in bondage as a believer. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. We were serving sin. We were controlled by sin and the devil, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Paul says, I know the struggle. In Romans 7, he gets into saying that, hey, the times I will go to do good, evil's present with me. And I find out the things that I want to do that are good, I don't do. And the things I shouldn't do that are bad, I do those things. So I'm speaking these words, Paul says, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now being free, not held back like you once were. Give it a try. Try to say no the next time you want to sin or give into that habit. Just test yourself. Test God. See if you can be victorious. Even so now, yield yourselves, members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? Oh, listen. I'm ashamed of my past. I'm ashamed of the life I lived. I go a step further. I'm even ashamed at times the things I do now. I'm like, why did I do that? But I'm ashamed of my past. Paul says, a life of sin brings shame. He says, talking about those things. Verse 20 says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Church, before us this morning, we have life and death. Choose life that you may live. Verse 22, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I said all that to say this, that freedom in the Christian life is abused. You don't turn there. Let me just give it to you. Galatians chapter number 5 in verse number 13. Paul also says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we see that there. We see that when it comes to freedom in Jesus, there's freedom abused. There's freedom received. But I want to mention one more thing. There's freedom forever. One day, we will be forever free in heaven. Don't turn there. Revelation 21:4 says that one day there's going to be freedom from tears. There's going to be freedom from death. There's going to be freedom from sorrow and freedom from pain. One day we will be totally free. Amen. In a place called heaven. 2 Corinthians, turn here please as we get ready to close in just a moment. 2 Corinthians 5. This is a whole lot to digest in one sitting. I understand that. But it still needs to be preached and taught. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, our bodies, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tabernacle, body, house, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Do you earnestly desire to be clothed with your heavenly house, your home in heaven? He says, we desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. We groan. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. You got burdens this morning? You spent time groaning in your prayer closet? He says, for we that are in this tabernacle, this body, we groan, we're being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, or down payment, meaning he's going to come back and get us. He gave the down payment, but he's going to come back and fully possess. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And then he gets into the judgment of the believer in following verses. There's a freedom forever one day. We have this freedom received now from the bondage of sin. There's a possibility of abusing our freedom, but then one day we won't have to worry about it anymore. We'll experience freedom forever in a place called heaven, where the sons and daughters of God are at. No sin will ever enter there. Servant of sin will not abide in the house forever. There'll be freedom from tears, death, sorrow, and pain. We groan now. We want to be clothed upon with our heavenly house, our heavenly home. But it's only a matter of time before it happens. Let us do what Paul says and keep laboring. Wherefore we labor. We labor. And then whether through the grave or through his coming, things will change. And when it does, and we're in heaven, there'll be no more times of interruption from time with him that is precious. The times of peace that you enjoy now, walking with Jesus, it's going to be interrupted one day, forever and ever and ever and ever. Freedom will be forever one day. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. God, I pray that the message this morning made some kind of sense. I know it's hard to digest all this at one time, but Lord, help us to digest it, read it, heed it. We know, God, that sin has no more dominion over us, so help us practice our faith by yielding ourselves to you and experiencing the freedom that we are rendered that we have. Give liberty during the time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Please feel free to come and pray. Praise the Lord, whatever you need to do.